The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What's up, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 259. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I am joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Adam Vail.
Sucker Free Sunday.
Brett Murdoch.
Hopefully the show isn't too high-minded and cerebral for most of you.
And of course, returning once again, Mr. Brian Manjoma.
Hello there.
Yeah. All right. Before we start, we want to give a shout out to Carlos, who's on his way to Korea again.
Korea.
This motherfucker, yo, every time a big game drops, he's always going to Korea. The next big game that's dropping when he's going to be away from America is The Last of Us 2. It happens every time.
Okay. Who's taking bets? Either he's got a secret Korean lady friend or he's training for martial arts tournament finals.
What about both?
I mean, like, dude, yeah, maybe he's living out like a kung fu soap opera.
Exactly.
I want to love you, but I must master the way of the fist.
I think he's building another house out there, and I think this is his whole thing of trying to relocate, because he said he's in the process of doing that.
Yeah, he says he really wants to move out there.
So,
is he building a house out there, though?
Well, he's talked about it.
He's doing, yeah, he's talking about
bridges.
It.
Yeah, he's talked about it.
He's doing a real destiny thing. He's doing connections. He went out there. He met some people. He has some close friends now, and that
he delivered some packages.
Delivered some packages, and they're trying to hook him up. So, remember, because he wants to move out there. He wants to do the whole thing.
Yeah,
start working out there and all that. So, first, you need a place to stay, and he said that's what he was working on. So, I'm assuming this is part of that. It's not just sightseeing, you know, because he's done enough of that.
Yeah, give me a sec here, because like last week's show, we got a lot of questions about Death Stranding, so I'm just organizing these. But we're going to start off with Johnny W. Uppercut. Asks us a very controversial question here. So his question is, and it is related to Death Stranding, is it time to admit that Hideo Kojima is a one-trick pony? All right. I need to know what he means by this, because if you play Metal Gear games, I'm talking about the ones that he directed, that he, you know, produced, they're all different from one another. They're not the same games going from game to game. I'll let Manny take over since you broke it down very well. And here's our chance to give a shout out to the ARD podcast. Check out their latest episode. Manny and I are there talking about the legacy of Metal Gear, of Hideo Kojima, and all that other good
stuff. How do you spell that?
ARG, ARG podcast.
You know, ARG.
ARG, no, because yeah. I had somebody else saying they couldn't find the ARG podcast. And I'm
yeah,
thinking,
no, it's ARG. Yeah, it's an acronym for another retro gaming podcast, but it's ARG. I used to call it ARG. It's like, this is not ARG, it's ARG. Anyway, Manny, go ahead and I'll jump in. So, and then, or Chris, you could jump into, because you're pretty well-versed in the Metal Gears.
Yeah, the thing is that, like, for each single time that he's ever made a Metal Gear game, they fundamentally have changed the gameplay and changed the way that it works. So, in other words, like, from Metal Gear 1 to 2, there's a lot more aspects to the game than just sneaking. You know, you have more interactive, environments, you have interactive characters, like, you know, the enemies are different, they can sense you in different sorts of ways, like footprints, light, you know, you can shoot an enemy in a leg and they'll actually react to that sort of stuff, as well as any other sort of their body parts. If you shoot them in the hand, they can't shoot you. There's all these different things. And when you go to Metal Gear 3, which now you have that the sneaking aspect, but you have the additional aspect of the survival part of that game, where you have to if you get injured, you have to use all kinds of first aid, wraps, all kinds of stuff like that. You also have your stamina gauge, which you have to keep an eye on. If you're running around too much, you essentially start to get weak, so then you have to eat, so then you have to hunt in the game. Not to mention there's also the the camouflage aspect of the game, where if you're standing, and wearing a big red outfit, an enemy will have a better chance of seeing you as if you were wearing a camouflage, or if you're hanging down low. Then you go to five, which is kind of like, you know, four is kind of like a combination of a lot of other things, and then brings in that other portion of it where a lot of the shooting aspects of the game are a lot easier to deal with. So in other words,
Manny, can you mind if I jump in real quick?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. With four, basically, it introduced, even though it wasn't open world, it had very big environments for every single level, big environments, multiple ways of playing it. Because in past Metal Gears, even though you could shoot your way out of some things, you couldn't really do that. It was really a stealth game. That one was very emphasis on, like, you could approach missions the way you wanted.
Yeah, there was multiple ways to get into a location rather than the one door that you could only go through, or the one vent that you could go through. And and they also had the aspect of there being a war at the same time.
Yeah.
And especially you running through the war would start to try to shoot at you. And then what you could also do is if you help one of the sides, I think you can only help one side, but it will help you out as well.
Yeah, so that was that aspect. Then five, obviously, huge open world.
Which went full open world, where now you had multiple entrances and exits. You could also, you leaving a base also didn't cut the chances of you actually being found by somebody from that base, where they could come in. You know, you also had roving, different groupings of caravans like that would come through. So like, let's say you've taken out a whole base, then they also would have another car come through that would just circle around all the different areas, and then they'll find out, oh wait, there's no guys here, what's going on here, and then call in for reinforcements. So each time it's kind of
quickly, you have to also contend with the wildlife that could attack you. If you go into a base during the daytime, it's different than going out at night, different things like that.
So yeah, each time it's kind of extended and changed the thing. Like, granted, like I don't see that as being the same sorts of games. I mean, to be honest, I think if I was just going to keep making the same game over and over and over again, then I wouldn't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, and then of course linking it to Death Stranding. Death Stranding has the whole delivering weight management thing. Metal Gear's never had anything like that before. This is totally different.
I'm still confused why this guy, whoever was, or is it multiple people saying that he's a one trick pony? I don't see this.
You don't.
Where's the trick? I don't see it, and I'm not even a fan of this game. I don't see it. It seems different. I don't.
Yeah, so Brett, can you enlighten us? Because, like, again, and we just broke it down how each game is different, so that's not really one trick pony, but maybe there's a different definition for that. We don't know. Go ahead, Brett.
I'm not going to be your adversary on this one, but I think I can play mediator a little bit.
Yeah, please, because I need to understand it. Oh, by the way, we didn't even mention Metal Gear Peace Walker, how Peace different Walker that is.
Kojima games have often tended to be an evolution of the past one, but that could be said for a lot of games. So, yeah, it's kind of a one-trick pony in the way Platinum Games is a one-trick pony, in the way that the Soulsborne games are one-trick ponies. It's an artist who you can see their mark on their art, and that is a common thread that runs through everything that he's actually touched. So
would you call that a one-trick pony?
Yeah, that's not. No, that's just their style.
No.
Yeah.
It would be more that's of a just stylistic
their, that's
choice,
just their
right?
style. Yeah. Yeah, but that's why people are saying one-trick pony is because all of his games kind of feel the same. It's like, the same way all of an artist's albums all kind of feel the same.
Yeah.
It's just putting a very negative connotation or light on the fact that there's a thread that runs through all of his works. But heads up, guys, that's just what art is, and especially when you get to the upper echelons of art, and I hate to sound like I'm looking down on people, when you get down to the upper echelons of art, people start specializing, and they developed very distinct styles. And that's the thing a lot of people don't understand is art in any form, and whether it be cinema or drawn art, you don't seek a style. Novice artists always think that you do. They're like, how do I develop my own style? Well, you don't. Half the time, you don't even know it's there.
It kind of just happens.
Yeah, it naturally develops over time from the shortcuts that you learn, and half the time you don't even notice it. Like, I didn't even notice until recently that I'm good at copycatting tattoos, but people can definitely tell my tattoos. Like, oh yeah, that's a Brett tattoo. And I'm like, how the fuck do you know that? Like, oh, I can see your style. I was like, I can't. My visual language is different from somebody else's.
It's a lot more subtle. Like when it comes to, you know, or even artists that can duplicate, and I can duplicate other people's styles, but I can see my style within there. Right.
Yeah, exactly. You can never fully camouflage it. People can still be like, it's different than what you normally do, but I can still see that it's you. I could still tell and be like, that would be a Manny piece kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
I can't hide the way I draw hands, the way I draw certain bodies. Faces I can kind of futz around with and get it to look somewhat different than my normal work, but still, there's still lots of telltale signs that I can specifically see in my work. And I think that's also the same thing for Kojima games, where it's like there are those telltale things for Kojima games that are always there. You know, there's that quirky ass Japanese humor.
Yes.
There is just
a lot of philosophy stuff going on in there.
A lot of the philosophy, a little bit, a lot of history, a lot of all this, it's like almost like seeing like it's the same idea where like you can tell the artist's hand within that place.
Yeah, I was gonna say this, like Death Stranding is very different, you know, mechanically and everything from past Kojima games, but it's a total motherfucking Kojima game, you know?
It has that feel that he, you know, just the way he sort of works and those sorts of aspects. A friend of mine who's been playing it recently, he's like, I think he showed me something in there and he told me a couple of things and he's like, yeah, this is definitely a Kojima game.
Super Kojima game, yeah. But at the same time, it's also different than what he's done before, too, you know?
Yeah.
Brett said it right. It's you know, the artist's, you know, hand shown, you know? That's just how it is.
It's just how it is. It's like, yeah, I guess he even said it. Like, Platinum, you can see how Platinum does it.
Yes.
You can see how, like, but, I mean, I feel like that, I mean, some people like that sort of stuff and some people don't. That's not a bad thing, to be honest.
Yeah.
I would actually argue otherwise. I would say the best artists are the ones, like I said, the higher you go up in skill and echelon, the more pronounced your personal style becomes.
Yep.
I mean, it's the way for the greatest directors, the greatest artists. Tell me you can't instantly recognize a Jack Kirby piece.
No, of course, like, yeah. Instantly, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
But when he first started, his work didn't look like Jack Kirby.
No, it didn't. And that's the thing. And that's why there's a correlation between, in my opinion at least, and this is completely subjective, of course, but the more proficient you become in your craft, the more notable your signature becomes. Because as you grow and learn new things, you learn them in your specific language and interpret them and process them in your special way. So you're constantly building more assets to express yourself with, and those kind of gain a signature. You know, it's kind of the same way as you don't mean to pick out an entire wardrobe that has a look to it. Manny and I are going to use this as examples because apparently we both dress like New York artists. Like, you just like things that are kind of black and militant, and then you end up with a whole fucking wardrobe of that, and you're like, I didn't mean to look like this.
It was olive drab shirts, jackets, military caps.
Yep. That's the way it's supposed to be, though.
I think we'll move on to the next one. Violence and Empathy, you know, our boy Isaac, he goes, there's a difference between a style marking, a style that marks you, and being a hack who only does the same thing. Yep, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. Yeah, exactly.
That's well said, my friend.
And I don't think, despite the criticisms, I don't think, and here's the thing, if you want to criticize Kojima, and I'm just saying this as, you know, somebody who likes playing the adversary, if you want to criticize Kojima, you got to come real. If you don't come with at least something based in reality, then none of the following arguments necessarily hold any weight or get benefit of the doubt. So you can't come at people like, oh, Kojima's a hack. Like, there's lots of criticisms you could have, and I'm sure we'll get into those.
Yes.
But keep it reasonable, folks.
All right, let's move on here because we have a lot more Death Stranding questions tonight. These ones are kind of funny from Dr. Bogoli. He goes, why does no one like my bridge? Maybe you put it somewhere nobody could access it, bro. You know?
Yeah.
give it time. People will get there eventually, you know.
If you, what's the old saying? If you build it, they will come.
Exactly. Yeah, man. Every time I get to like a bridge, actually any structure that's like really, really far out there, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to hit some likes, especially if there's like no likes whatsoever. It's like, all right, we got to give this boy something, you know.
You know what, man? Maybe bridges aren't your thing. You got to, life is about branching out and trying different things. Like maybe you're a hut guy. You know, or like maybe you're a rope man. Like try each out, see which one really resonates with you. Maybe I know you feel like you're born to be a bridge guy, but really good. Come out with an open mind.
Yeah, yeah. Man, zip lines are pretty hot, man.
Yeah, when you unlock them, man, go for it. You know, mm-hmm. And then his next question is kind of funny, but I'm gonna just expand it so I can give my thoughts on the game so far. Why is Death Stranding so good that I can't stop playing? Yeah, dude, this is the first game I played this year where I have to pull myself away just to perform normal bodily functions. Like, it's hilarious. I'm more worried about making Norman read his pee than me going to pee. I'm like, I'm holding it in. I'm like, nah, man, more. I gotta play. I gotta let this dude take a piss, you know?
It's so weird.
Isn't it? It's hilarious, you know? Well, people do that all the time. It was like, you know, they'll play, like, they let their normal lives go to shit, but then they'll play like The Sims. It's like, really, dude?
Can you let a question?
Yeah.
Can Norman Reedus wet himself?
No, not that I know of.
What happens if you just never pee?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah. No,
he won't. He won't piss himself. But here's the thing, and I this is not a spoiler. Your bodily waste can be used against enemies. That's part of the story. Yeah, that's part of the story. Like his bodily fluids, because of the way his physiology is, like he's resistant to whatever going on in the world. So,
bro, you already sold me. Oh. I mean, my bodily fluids can be used as weapons.
There you go.
I mean, can't yours? I mean, I'm pretty sure monkeys have figured this one out.
Unless they could weaponize it to use against ghost creatures from another world, sure.
You don't know why monkeys throw poo.
Because probably annoying, but we're not going to get into monkey shit right now. We're talking about Death Stranding.
It could be Phantasm World. You don't know. Yeah. You don't know. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that is true, man. But I would not want to be hit in the face with shit. That's all I know. But yeah,
that's my point.
Yeah. But yeah, so far Death Stranding is a lot better than I thought it was going to be. Don't get me wrong. Like I was hooked from the beginning. I've not been bored a single time, but during the first, I would say maybe 5 hours, I'd be like, okay, I can see why people didn't like this, because I'm literally just hiking around all over the world, doing like random shit. And then obviously as you keep playing, it opens up more. You start getting vehicles, you start getting weapons and stuff. And I like the sense of progression, not only with my character, because I'm getting constantly better equipment, but I like how my actions are affecting the world. And then the actions of other players are also affecting the world, which is really, really cool, you know? And like we said before, the game is very different than what anything Kojima has done before, but it's also unmistakably Kojima. Like, this is Kojima unfiltered, concentrate, whatever you want to call it, you know? It's like, this is, like, there is no dilution here, you know? Some people have said that it's kind of self-indulgent. I agree with that, but I like the fact that it's self-indulgent. It's like, okay, this is pure, like, you know, tap into your veins, Kojima, you know? Right, like, pure Colombian and shit. Yeah.
I noticed one little pattern with all this that you keep saying. Yeah. Kojima.
Yes.
What about if somebody doesn't know shit about Kojima, and they just hear about this as a game?
That person doesn't exist, Adam.
No, 90% of people, 99% of people don't know who the fuck Kojima is.
I had a guy in my house today who didn't know. I just brought up, I was like, hey, he's a gamer and stuff. You know Kojima? He's like,
Most gamers don't even know who Kojima is. Let's just be honest. You know, like hardcore guys like us, obviously we know.
No. Yeah. Okay, here it is. All right, I'm waiting for this moment.
Uh-oh.
Let's crack this open. All right, Tony.
Yeah.
Let's substantiate this fucking argument for a minute. Okay. So what I want to make sure is that you are saying that no game director in the history of gaming is known enough to be famous amongst people who aren't hardcore gamers. Is that statement true in your eyes?
In America, yeah, because obviously in Japan.
Period.
No, not period. No, because look at the guy who did Dragon Quest. The guy's a fucking legend.
Kojima in Japan, just got the Guinness World Record for most Twitter followers
Yes, I saw
of
the
game producer, ever.
Yeah.
Therefore, he is the biggest and most well-known game producer by today's standards.
On Twitter.
Okay. Yeah, on Twitter. On
Dude, and Twitter. Twitter, come on. We all
on that, Twitter. That shit don't count, man. That shit don't count. That was a stupid award, too. Like, on Twitter, who gives a fuck, you know?
Oh, come on. You don't think that's a metric of general people? You don't think your average fucking Joe uses Twitter?
No. Maybe kids, but not actual Joes.
Yeah, no.
Okay, so like, what is your average...
Yeah, average people don't use on Twitter. Like, it's
what would you need for people? Like, what proof beyond the fact that they are the most followed game director ever do you need to believe that this person is a recognizable name?
No, here's the thing.
Just hardcore. No, because you say to just hardcore gamers, and I'm saying it's to gamers. They're at maybe not to super casual gamers, but to gamers in general. Motherfuckers know who Kojima is.
I caught you. Super casual. That's the majority of gamers, bro. That's the majority right there. The super casual guys, the guys who just play one or two games a year, those are the guys that buy most games, dude. And that's the guys I'm talking about. They don't know who the fuck Kojima is.
Hold on. The people that buy one to two games a year are the people that buy the most games?
No. They buy. They do because Call of Duty is the game that sells
Call
the most.
Call of Duty, most guys like us, games.
Yeah, they all exactly. Yeah.
We're setting aside that crowd.
We're not.
You can't do that though. You can't do that. They count, man. They count. It's the money backs it up. If the money wasn't there, you're right. We wouldn't.
But Brett, just to be fair to you, if you do take the super casual guys out, which is a good chunk of the people that actually buy games, then I could see where you're coming from. But you have to count those guys into the equation too. I'm taking out the sports
guys and the Call of Duty guys. Yeah. Everybody else left knows who the fuck Kojima is.
Okay. The Fortnite guys too.
Yeah, there's some mostly little kids.
I take out the Fortnite guys.
Because
and those are all.
That's the majority of.
No, I'm not saying.
Which means it's only the hardcore guys know them.
No. Yeah, but look at it. Okay, here's the thing, though. Those are games that only sell those games. They're pretty much they turn into a system that just run those games, right?
Yeah.
Those are the people that you're talking about. Then you're talking. I'm talking about the rest of the fucking market. All of the multi console games. All of the fucking exclusives, literally the rest of gaming as we know it, all the people who ever listened to this podcast, anybody who's ever picked up a fucking video game magazine, anybody who's ever read any video
those guys game are not the majority of gamers, bro. No. They're
dude,
not.
If they're
like 30% of the market at most, man. You know? Those guys obviously know who the fuck Kojima is. They know. But the other guys, they just go into Best Buy. Oh, well, what system is out there?
There have to be a significant amount of them. Otherwise, we wouldn't spend all this money making games for them,
They don't buy it. They don't buy it. That's it. We know the numbers. So, they don't.
Brett, you know what? Let's literally, we don't make
any games anymore except for Call of Duty.
Those are the ones that sell millions, but it's not in that numbers. It's not on that scale, like what we're talking about with the other games.
None of those games are going to hit that scale. I agree with that. But like God of War wasn't no bitch. It wasn't put out for just a small niche group of hardcore gamers. And that's the fucking picture that we're painting.
Oh, no, I agree. But think about it. And we've said this on the show before. Most people that buy even the games we like are still just the casual guys that just like, hey, that looks kind of cool. I've heard about it. I'll pick it up. They're ignorant, you know, but those are the people that mostly buy games. They're not dedicated like we are. The really dedicated dudes make up maybe 30%, you know,
and I think I'm being generous. Being too fucking generous with the idea of a hardcore
gamer. As a matter of fact, you know, Adam, and this is something you and I talk about all the time. How many people beat games, right? It's 22% of people who buy games. Yeah. Those are the real hardcore guys.
And all the fucking time.
We are the minority, dude. We live in a bubble, you know?
Yeah, man. All you have to do is look at all your games, Brett. Go into the trophy section and then just start looking at like chapter 3 and chapter 4. Almost every fucking game, most people falls off to like ultra hard. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, most people just buy a game, play for a couple hours and toss it aside. They're not dedicated. Like they don't breathe the shit.
I get what you're saying, but the problem is that you're looking at it from the idea of just everybody who owns a fucking PlayStation.
Yeah.
And that's not the distinction that I'm making.
Okay.
I'm talking there are separate markets. If literally there's a whole group of people that only buy Call of Duty, then the rest of the video game market isn't tailored towards them. The rest of the video game market view them as a separate entity. You're not going to try and sell BioShock to the motherfucker who's playing Call of Duty, because it's not going to fucking work. We all know that. Okay. That's the reason we all only have a small nod to fucking Call of Duty anytime there's like a fucking big game show or something like that. We're like, boom, Call of Duty, it's done. Now here's the rest of the stuff.
All right,
sports
so,
game.
Yeah,
boom,
no.
Done.
So,
now
so
here's the rest of the stuff.
So what
so
you're
talking about all the rest of the stuff.
Okay, so what you're basically telling me is that among hardcore gamers, they know who Hideo Kojima is.
I'm telling you,
because I'm not going to disagree with that. I've
so
been saying that. You
okay,
know?
So I'm just making sure that I'm getting this straight. Anybody who plays something other than a sports game, Fortnite, or Call of Duty, in your opinion, is considered a hardcore gamer?
No, they're not.
Talked about what a hardcore gamer is, because that sounds like what you just said.
No, but that's what I'm trying to understand where you're coming from, because I'm trying to, like, basically...
So define a hardcore gamer for me,
guys who lives this shit, who plays, like, you know, 20 games a year that play, their main
hobby
is gaming.
What is the next
rung
down from that?
Let's see, the next rung down would be guys who maybe play a couple of hours, like, a day or something, maybe 2 hours a day, but they really like gaming, but they're not going to IGN, they're not going to Twitter, they're not going to these places, they just, like, whatever's in the wild that they may hear on TV or something, that would be kind of the next rung down.
And you don't think those motherfuckers know who Kojima is?
I don't think so. I think maybe half of them, and I'm being generous right now, know him. Maybe half of them. The guy has a weird Japanese name, nobody knows who the fuck these people are. They don't even, come on, dude, like... Yeah, I like the thing is you're talking about us like again maybe 25% 30% of like the larger pie here.
Okay,
So let's break that down. So let's break down how much of those 25% or 30%. Let's just actually, you know what? This would be fair. How much of the third of gamers, right, that are dedicated to it? How much of those guys know Kojima, right? If we're gonna go down that route, I would say probably.
Okay, no. Yeah. I'm not trying to go down that route, but let's simplify this a little bit.
Yeah.
So the hardcore gamers. Are they a big enough crowd to impact sales and review scores? Or are they just a small subsection?
It's a good question.
Because if you're saying they're just 20, 30%, then it really shouldn't matter.
Most of those guys don't even buy Call of Duty. Call of Duty is always the best-selling game of the year. You know. Anyway, go ahead, Adam.
It's just the argument that Brett is bringing up brings back to a thread that I was reading a few years ago on Image Comics, because a lot of people that read Image Comics feel that they are their true comic readers and that they are reading the evolution of just comics in general because they are stepping away from a lot of the superhero stuff and bringing more real world stuff. But how many of the artists that are there that people actually know besides, you know, Robert Kirkman?
Yeah, that's true.
So that's the whole thing. So are they, yes, they have some popular series, but are they on the level of like Marvel and DC Comics? No.
Okay. You know? Now, here's where I've been going with this. There's been a lot of articles coming out recently about how Death Stranding has been getting review bombed. It's been getting
I've never seen that. Review bombed by who?
By just random people on the internet.
Okay. Oh, wait, hold on. You're talking about Xbox and shit. Like, I never even played a game, but fuck this shit. Fuck Kojima.
Those are just people speaking.
They're just assholes. We don't pay attention to those people.
Okay. And so it's fine that they've managed to drag the Metascore down to 1.6% or 6.6.
I'm pretty sure they separate Metascores for audiences and actual, like, critics and shit.
You know? It's at a 7 on PS4.
Yeah. Let me see right now. With 7.0 out of like 100 for the audience.
7.0 out of 10.
Yeah.
But a lot of there's been several articles out about how.
You got a link, man. I've never seen one of these yet.
I hold on.
Yeah. We don't have to do it now. You know.
Okay.
You still got to make your point here. Yeah.
There's several articles out about how it's been being review bombed and one of the things that they are basing the fact that it's being reviewed on review bombed is a lot of the comments have to do about Kojima and not the game.
Yeah.
So their argument is the game score on Metacritic is being artificially drugged down due to backlash from Kojima or over Kojima.
Yeah. Again, these are the user scores. The user scores don't affect the actual Metascore. they're completely different. And let's just be honest, the guys that are going in there are the crazy hardcore guys that are just hating on Kojima, so they're going to go in there anyway. You know what I'm saying? They're not the regular guy going in there. It's just like the crazy dedicated hater, you know?
I wish, just like other services out there, that they would have it linked. Like, for example, on Amazon, if you want to post a review on something, you have to have proof that you purchased it. So then that way you can give a proper review. I don't think it's fair to review something that you haven't played or owned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, who said they didn't play it?
That's what I'm saying. Who's to say they did? That's the shit. I would just like that for everything, not just for this game.
Oh, yeah, proof. Well, yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
Just proof. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Well, like on Steam, do they do a thing where they...
Yes, if you leave a review,
mm-hmm. do they show like you purchased it?
Yes.
Yeah, see that, Garrett, they need to do that. It's like something. Yeah,
they need to do that.
Yeah, because like, what is a 7-point? Like, you can't take that shit serious. It's a bunch of haters, you know? Anyway, go on, Brett.
So my big point was, on one hand, you have supposed scores being affected by Kojima's fame or infamy.
Yeah.
But on the other side, you're saying it doesn't really carry enough weight to actually sell the game or raise review scores.
Not 6,418 guys went into the user score shit. Come on, that's a super small subset. So I wouldn't even count those guys anyway, you know? And again, that score doesn't affect the Metascore.
And who's to say it's not one multiple guys making a bunch
exactly.
of different accounts and screwing with it?
Yeah, because there's no way to verify that.
Final question.
Yes.
What would I need to do to prove to you that your average gamer knows who Kojima is?
That's a good question.
Go to a school or to a public area, just like a bus or something, and just randomly ask people.
Actually, Brett, you work at a tattoo shop. Ask your people. Even though, granted, your people are pretty kind of, let's just be honest, they're hardcore guys too. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe not, because it's something that Brett, you brought up last time when you were talking about art and saying that a lot of these guys that come in talking about they want tattoos know nothing about art.
Yeah.
So if they know nothing about art and they're willing to get it, it's the same that as someone walking into a store saying, I want to buy a game and know nothing about the game itself. I'm like, hey, just tell me something good about it. Or I think that looks cool. Is it cool? Oh, you don't know Kojima? No, but the cover looks cool. Yeah. And I know the Norman Reedus guy. Is it cool? I'm asking you.
Yeah, Brett, let's have some fun with this, man. This week, every client, ask him, you know who Dave Kojima is? Don't say nothing. Do you know who Dave Kojima is? That's it. Leave it at that. And compile your answers.
I've been asking.
And every single person that you've talked to has said yes.
No. Yeah. But I mean, if the conversation usually goes, if I'm tattooing them, you fish for certain topics you have in common, and the first one of them is video games, be like, hey man, anything you're excited coming up for? And they'll usually tell me Death Stranding is usually on the fucking list. You're excited about that? They'll be like, yeah, man, it's Kojima's new game. Like, half the time, they'll fucking bring it up before I even say anything. The other half of the time, like, all, I don't even have to say his first. I just say Kojima, and people know who I'm talking about.
Gamers, specifically.
Gamers, people who have, because a lot of, a majority of the time, the response is, oh, yeah, that's the guy who made Metal Gear, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, they're not Metal Gear fans. They haven't played Metal Gear ever at all.
Yeah, no, you're right about that.
Every once in a while, the way I can tell the hardcore guys is if they know about PT or not.
Yeah, oh yeah, those guys are the hardcore, dude. No, you're right about that.
Yeah,
hold on, just real quick, Chris. You're right about that. PT is for the super hardcore guys, but if you're like a dedicated gamer, like, and you don't have to be playing 50 hours a day. If you're a dedicated gamer, Brett, remember, this is the point I was going to bring up. Out of that third, just to be generous, out of that third that actually, you know, are gamers, I would say half of those guys know who Kojima is just by passing. So what you're telling me is kind of lining up with what I think is really going on.
If you play video games at all with any kind of basic regularity that you know who Kojima is, that was my point.
Yeah, but no one's denying, but
which
I'm
is,
saying, yeah, but
which
I'm,
is pretty yeah. much fucking everybody.
No, but again, you're discounting the 66% of people that geeky.
The 66% of people that only play one game.
Yeah, but
yeah,
they, but
I am discounting them on purpose.
All right, well, I'm counting them because
so is
all
the rest
the
of
thing.
The gaming industry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're not. They're the ones that bring all the money. What are you talking about?
To them.
They're catering to them. What do you think? Microtransactions? No, dude. And Chris, you could take over. But, dude, the people that play mobile games, they're counted in there, too. They're not discounting them. They're trying to emulate that shit. They're not discounting them at all.
Money is money. You always count.
Okay. Exactly. Okay. I'm calling shenanigans. If we're even talking about fucking mobile games in here, man, you are looking at it at the widest possible angle to support.
It's because you brought it up. You specifically said that they don't count those people. Down. I'm like, dude, those are the guys that bring in the money.
Okay,
let's just make it simple.
You know? Let's just make it simple. If you took a pool of everybody who plays multiple video games a year, they would all know who Kojima is.
All of them would know.
A majority of them.
I don't know about that, man. Like
75%+.
I disagree with that. If they're dedicated guys that play games every day, I would say generously half of them would know just by passing. Oh, yeah, the Metal Gear guy, right? Half of them, and maybe two guys are like, oh yeah, fucking man, it sucks what Konami did to him.
I'm gonna say guys that play anybody who plays a couple days a week.
Every couple days a week.
I don't even play a couple days a week.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
that's what I was saying. Like, that's not even that hardcore.
Yeah. Chris, go on, man.
Well, two things I was going to say. First, PT is an excellent example why he's not a one-trick pony.
Yeah, that's a good
point. Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Brett, you have to take, like, all gamers if you're going to argue the point that he's such a household name. If you want to say he's this established household name, you can't just take the subsect of, I'm only looking at console and PC gamers who only play these type of games. You have to look at everything. And if you look at everything, that does include mobile, because mobile strategy is being adopted everywhere because it's making so much money.
I can look at it that way, though, because it's pretty much every multi-plat title that isn't those guys or that isn't those few games target audience. I'm not making the distinction. The industry is making the distinction. This is the target audience of literally everybody Destiny is trying to grab. Everybody Division is trying to grab. That entire target audience is the group of people that I'm talking about.
Destiny and Division have loyal people, but those are MMO lights.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. All I'm talking about is people who don't play, Tony's point is I'm discounting all the people who solely play Fortnite and Call of Duty. And I'm saying I am discounting those. As well as does almost every other video game released.
Yeah, but Brett, I am conceding to you that out of the guys that are actually real gamers, I'm sorry if you're playing Fortnite all the time, you're not a fucking gamer. If you're talking about,
and by that you mean the target audience of 80% of games, right?
Yeah, those are the target audience. Let's just be honest. But I'm talking about of the real dedicated guys, the guys that actually beat their games. Half of those guys know who Kojima is. I agree with you on that. Half of those guys know him. You know, I know you say 75%. I'm going to say half of those guys know who Kojima is. But if you're talking about the larger pool of gamers, maybe two motherfuckers know out of 10.
I'll start taking a random poll. How do you want me to take it? Do you play video games? Followed by, do you know who Kojima?
Yeah. Just start asking random people, even outside your shop. Because I'm pretty sure you're interact with a bunch of people. Yeah, it'll be interesting. Yeah, play game. Do you play games first? And then you lead on with that.
You want to take a survey?
Yeah. Because remember, I'm talking about, you know, and I'm also talking about the guys that are like, oh, you play games? This is back in the day. Do you play WoW? And now it's become, do you play Fortnite? They don't know. Those guys wouldn't know who the fuck Kojima is, you know? And those are people that ask. Go ahead.
No, they wouldn't. But for the same way, like anytime somebody brings up like, you know, like mobile games on the show, half of us are like, get the fuck out of here. They don't
know. Yeah. Like, oh no! That's obviously, fucking mobile games are fucking bullshit. But look at how the industry is adopting a lot of those strategies, because that's where mobile games actually make way more money than console games and all that.
That's
shit.
That's why there's loot boxes and all this shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're adopting a strategy.
Grandma's
and honestly,
gamer.
Like even like you'd say pretty hardcore people play Nintendo games, right? I mean, there's hardcore Smash guys, or whatever. There's guys who are devoted to Nintendo. Nintendo's making mobile games.
Yeah.
They're in that pool.
I would not say Nintendo is a console for hardcore gamers.
No, I didn't say it's a console for hardcore gamers. I said hardcore people do play Nintendo.
Yeah.
That's a different thing.
Yeah, okay. Some, yeah.
Yeah, but like you can't just discount mobile because they don't discount it. You said the industry discounts mobile. Nintendo wouldn't be making mobile games. And some of them are exclusive to mobile platforms. Like, I can't play Jorgalia Lost on the Switch. Why not?
That's literally the exact argument I just used for in 80% of games that are released on consoles.
No, but you argued against counting those sect of gamers. I say you have to count them.
So mobile games are also accounting for...
Not mobile games, people who play on mobile, because all these things intersect, right? The strategies intersect, the gamers intersect in some capacity. Not every mobile gamer is a console gamer, whatever, but people do play that. You know, like Kristen plays Pokemon Go, and she also plays a ton of Switch games, and she'll play stuff on Xbox. She played Killer Instinct, right? So how does that intersection work? You can't just discount that.
Yeah, exactly.
But Brett, I think I'm at least trying to meet you halfway. I will, you, just for the sake of this argument, I will discount. Even though I wouldn't, I will discount those people. So I'm going to say half of the people that are actually dedicated real gamers, they know who Kojima is for sure, or they know who Metal Gear is, and they'll be like, oh yeah, the guy that he did, the Hideo guy, right? You know, like hip hop gamer, the way he says it. Oh yeah. Man. Yeah,
I feel like there's a lot of asterisks in there, but we should move on with the show.
Yeah, we should. Oh, by the way, I love the fact that I'm just playing fucking games right now.
You playing games?
He delivered packages, man.
Yeah, man. No, he's playing fucking... What are you playing right now, Adam?
WrestleFest, man.
I was playing WrestleFest. Now I'm looking for Marvel versus Capcom.
Nice, yo, nice.
Put a quarter on there. I got next.
Yeah, you got next, man. All right, let's move on, man. Where the fuck are we? Glorious War. All right, has any game made you appreciate a mechanic in another game or made you understand why people like those other games? Because playing Death Stranding, I understand why people like playing Minecraft and Fallout. I love building roads, bridges, and putting down a well-placed anchor or ladder for my fellow players. Death Stranding is by far one of the most unique AAA games this generation. So, yeah, so I guess the core question is, has a game that you played made you like a mechanic from another game you may not have liked? And you're like, hey, I kind of appreciate that.
I kind of leave it, you know, I kind of leave it sort of open for each situation.
Yeah.
You know, like whatever. It's like, okay, we got this new mechanic. I'm like, all right, we'll see how this is, you know. And it's never made me really think, oh, you know, I've never really had anything against like Minecraft's building, you know, stuff. And I feel like a lot of games like, you know, sort of that do have kind of light building aspects actually kind of help people to kind of get to be more open-minded to certain aspects in other games, you know, kind of like what he just said.
Yeah, I don't know, for me it's not, you know, I mean, it kind of depends, but like for example, Brutal Legend did not make me like RTS games all of a sudden, you know.
No, but I mean, I feel like also Brutal Legend didn't do a very good job.
It also didn't do it of, yeah,
of, like, but I'm saying like,
and, but even in Death Stranding, it's like there's building a shit. That's not my favorite part of it. Like, okay, I'll let somebody else handle that shit. You know, because I don't like that in games, like crafting and shit. You know,
I think the thing about it is that it's also kind of a light version of it, and I think that's how deep. I mean, the thing is, it's not going to happen to everybody. I think it's just like there's just enough there to kind of be like, okay, that's good, but I don't want to take this any further. And then some people are like, hey, you know what? This might be interesting. Maybe I want to try one of these other things that go a little bit deeper into the crafting idea.
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand the concept, but if I don't like a mechanic, I'm not gonna kind of maybe I'll tolerate a little bit of it, but I'm not gonna suddenly love it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Again, I still don't like crafting. You know, that's not gonna change. I like simple shit like, hey, upgrade your weapon, press this button, your weapon's upgraded. I like that shit. Not like, scrounge around, build it yourself. Like, I don't want to do all that, man. You do that shit for me, you know? But I will say playing a different genre makes me appreciate it. Like, I'm going to use two examples. Both games I play this year. Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the new one, right? I'm still not a fan of this franchise, but I appreciate why people like it. I understand why.
Game of the year. Game of the year.
Yeah, see, that's Adam's game of the year right there. Again, not for me, but I understand the appeal. Like, when I started getting in there, started getting addicted to, like, you know, leveling up my character so I could get a better gun, I'm like, okay, I see the appeal here, the carrot on a stick. Dragon Quest Builders, I don't like those Minecraft type of games, but I understand a little bit. And I was like, there's a certain zen mode you get into when you're building shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you kind of just let your consciousness go away. And you're just like, I'm building shit. Like,
but I also think that it's also a light version of that sort of
thing. Yeah, it is a light version of it.
They're
for
not
sure.
Going to drop that, like, you know, a Dragon Quest game, you know, Dragon Quest Builders is not going to be on the level of a Minecraft.
Yeah, no, Minecraft is way, way deeper, but I could at least understand it, even if I still don't like it. And that's one thing, you know, that people don't seem to understand. It's like, just because you don't like something doesn't mean you can't understand why other people like it. I think that's the key, you know?
Yo, there was that kid that was crying from Fortnite, right? That he got banned. Did you see that shit?
No,
it was that video that spread everywhere that he cried because he showed there was a hack tool or something.
Like, hey, wait, what does that have to do with the conversation?
Because people, that was his favorite game, and he was fucking crying.
Oh yeah, I see what you're saying.
Get it? And he was freaking out and made a video about it. You know, it's like, so that's his favorite game. That's not our favorite game. We wouldn't care less if some shit like.
Yeah, thank you, Adam. By the way, Adam, do you have a game that fits the subscription? Like, you played a game and it has a mechanic that you didn't actually like from another game, but it made you at least kind of appreciate it.
It was the crafting that they had in Dead Space.
That was pretty decent, yeah.
Yeah, it was all right, and it wasn't too intrusive in the whole process. I didn't have to do the crafting, you know, but it helped. I hate when you have to craft. The Last of Us had some of it where you had to craft certain weapons to navigate around to fight the clickers and stuff. And that sort of annoyed me because I don't like crafting games. You know what ruined it also? With Dead Rising, when they started focusing heavily on crafting and stuff. Yeah, it's fun and all, but you needed to craft certain weapons after a while, and I just don't like doing that. I wanted to just find shit and just go and destroy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not big into crafting, period.
Yeah, okay, so, all right, Chris, what about you?
I can't think of an example, like a mechanic I don't like. I mean, I'm not much of a crafting guy either, but there's games where it makes it easy to do, like Dying Light, where crafting a weapon is literally like, choose this, and like combine these things, and then you just get it. Like, I love that. Like, making mods in Dying Light was easy. Fallout wasn't bad, but if I have to like mine minerals and I don't like that.
Yeah, no, fuck all that. I'm not trying to do that shit. Brian, what about you, man?
I can't really think of anything. Like, I've been going through all the stuff, but nothing really comes to mind.
All right, fair enough. Brett.
I would actually also probably say craft. I'm not a genuine, except for a few specific places where it's kind of directly tied to gathering. Like, I don't like having to just find weapon components so that I can upgrade my my pistol or whatever. I'd much rather be like, upgrade my weapon, upgrade my armor, fuck it, whatever, just pay this extra money, or if I have this skill, I can do it. But I do find myself really liking the gathering aspect of things. I think that might be from the like old school Command & Conquer, where you're like gathering materials or resources, but that bleeds down into, you know, like Minecraft, things like that. Like, I love building and I love gathering, so crafting is just kind of a middle part of that. I can kind of see the appeal, but without those other two legs, it just doesn't stand out for me.
All right, cool. All right, next question from Mr. Glorious War. So he goes, this is a little bit of a long question. Do you guys think Death Stranding, more than any other game, will illustrate the difference between a hobbyist, you know, guys that just liked it, didn't like it, and a critic? Here's what I think. You might like it. Do game reviewers really have the language to break down a game and talk about it in the service of an audience? They can only speak from their perspective, but not necessarily useful to an audience. If a reviewer can only say, I love it, but it's boring, is he a bad critic/reviewer because he, she can't describe his or her experience? You're throwing a lot of shit at us, bro. Death Stranding is one of the only games that perfectly illustrates its message philosophy with its core gameplay. Death Stranding is fun and engaging. Okay, because basically, and we've seen this a lot, it's not just Death Stranding, where like the audiences and the critics are saying two different things, right? At least, and again, you know, take what you will of my timeline, because they're mostly PlayStation guys, they're all fucking loving this game, but the critics were like, I don't know about this shit, you know? Go ahead, man.
I think the issue they're having is they're not they're enjoying the story, but they're not describing it in a positive way, so then their review score is so disparate from like, oh, this is boring storytelling. No, Kojima's a slow burn. It's like classic movies, right? If you were to give like like some new YouTube reviewer and I were to give him the original Halloween from 1978, he'd be like, this shit isn't scary. It's kind of boring. There was some fun stuff, blah, blah, blah. But it back then, that movie was a spectacle. Right,
yeah. It's had suspense in it. I mean, yeah. a lot of film, as films have gotten, you know, more films have gotten, as film has aged, everything has gotten faster. You know,
yeah.
It's not about setting the mood anymore for a horror film. It's like how many jump scares can you throw in 1 minute?
Yeah, right, think about it like Kojima this.
Kojima does that. He builds a story slowly. There's a lot of narrative. That's those characters, we've seen them all through Metal Gear. Like, you know, you get. Like Drebin in Metal Gear Solid 4, and he's like your bridge to like this part of like Snake's adventure and explaining stuff. It's the same thing like what Death Stranding's doing now with Jeff Keighley and all these people that Sam meets. It's the same thing. That's how you convey a story. That's how he pushes the narrative forward. And you know he's doing everything right, but he's doing it at his pace. And he's very much a fan of filmmaking, especially like classic filmmaking. So that explains why his story pacing is like that, right? Yeah. So if you appreciate that story pacing, then you don't explain it as boring. It's a slowly built narrative that requires like this a lot of exposition, sure, but that's how all the storytelling is. And you don't get these ADD scenes. It's not like, you know, you see a nuclear bomb go off and everybody fry or something. You know, it's he builds a mystery and then he wraps everything around, and you are Sam. You're learning about the world through him, through all these character interactions. So I think they're explaining it wrong. Like boring is a bad word. Then you just then that, everybody looks at that as a negative. So when they see a 9 or 9.5 after you call the game boring, they're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, you know? if they were to say something along the lines, it's more of a slow burn and it's not for, you know, like they. That would have been a more effective way to communicate that sort of idea.
Can we address the elephant in the room, though? It's like, okay, these are game reviewers, right? You would think they have a working knowledge of language, right? Yet these guys are having a hard time describing shit. That's kind of interesting, don't you think? It's like, you guys should be the ones that know how to describe this stuff. You could use a better, more fitting word than boring. You know?
But I think for them, boring is what it is. So they're not trying to sugarcoat it. And why sugarcoat it? If they personally think it's boring, then it's boring.
No, and that's fine, Anna, but going to what you said, if you're gonna call a boring is not a it's not an ambiguous term. That's pretty concrete what boring is. Boring means more boring means bad. So if you're gonna say boring in your review, you can't be throwing a 9 at the shit, you know?
Well,
I agree with you.
But they keep saying that, oh, the story carries everything. And you said that the story for you is the main important part of any game. You prefer the story.
Yeah.
So this is why they justify, because I couldn't understand it. I'm like, why are these reviews giving 9 saying it's boring?
Yeah, no, but again, Adam, this is why I'm agreeing with you. And again, Chris, this is why I'm asking, like, do these guys just lack the language here? Like,
I think absolutely they lack the language. Like, if you said this is a slow, suspenseful narrative that takes some time to get into and whatever, that sounds, that's a positive way to say that.
Yeah.
But they don't say that. They're saying this is a boring narrative, which is a con to any type of review.
Of course.
Right? So then you can't put that as a positive. It's like, it's a boring story.
Yeah, I'm like, hold on, bro. Man, you can't give a game a 9 and then say boring in your review. That's why I keep saying, don't fucking look at the scores, man. Read what they say. It's insane.
I mean, I gotta agree with your assessment of the situation. I have to question the conclusion that you've come to, that all of a sudden journalists don't understand how to display basic concepts about video games. By the way,
I'm not that's not my conclusion. I'm asking the question, because if that is the conclusion, there is something fundamentally wrong with that, where the people that are supposed to be reviewing games don't know how to review a game. That's a problem.
I don't, you know? Okay, first of all, I don't think that's the issue. And second of all, if we were just all blind to it up until this point, or haven't been listening to the warning signs, that's worse on us. And like, I gotta kind of Occam's razor this shit a little bit, be like, okay, what's more feasible, that they actually didn't like the game but felt pressure from big companies with a lot of marketing behind them and their bosses, and to kind of go along with the masses because it's been a huge issue going against the tide lately, and just go ahead and give it a high score but voice your actual opinion in the article? Or is it more likely that every single person in a journalist position doesn't actually know the first thing about being able to express a simple emotion?
Yeah, like, that's a good question.
Come on, guys.
Yeah, no, it's a good question because, again, we got to be on. And again, I'm just being real right now. A lot of these guys, they're not good writers, man. They don't know how to express themselves
correctly. No, they're not good writers, but come on. You know what boring means.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, how can you say boring and then slap a fucking 10 on it? It makes no sense, you know?
Because Kojima!
I don't know, but
because the whole fucking concept that we talked about, like,
yeah, weeks now you're going to conspiracy
this,
theory.
I told you that this was no. I told you that this shit was going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. That sounds too conspiratorial to me, man. Most gaming reviewers hate Kojima. They think he's overblown and overrated. They don't like him.
I don't know about that, man. It don't look that way.
You know, and then you know they're trying to attack him for some other shit right now, which we'll talk off air. You know, certain social things they don't like about him. They're trying to use that against him now.
Like he's a pompous asshole?
No, whoa, not that. Damn, tell me how you really feel, bruh.
It's a part-time family show. You gotta take it
part-time, you know.
Yeah, no, but you gotta wait till the next hour mark, then we switch over.
But I'm glad you brought that up. But Brad, I'm just glad you bring it up because again, we've been yelling about this sort of stuff since the beginning of the show. I'm like, why doesn't your fucking review match the score? We've been saying that forever.
It's bullshit. You know? It's pure bullshit. Yeah. But you know what? We talked about it. It looks like a lot of these are just kissing ass because of some other personal shit that we talk about off air. I think that's why they do it.
No, don't get me wrong. I think there's certain people that definitely fall into that. You know,
certain especially when they don't add up. You can't be like, yo, this is why. Fuck, do you know what? 10 out of 10. Gotta go.
Like, what?
I can't. Like, it's just frustrating. I'm like, I've been saying this is gonna happen. And then it happens, and people are like, well, apparently people must not know what words mean anymore. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Or maybe like, they
how far backwards are you guys going to bend to give this a pass? Jesus Christ, I wish any fucking Bethesda game got a quarter of the forgiveness right. The motherfuckers are giving this game.
What are you talking about? They get it in the beginning, and they were just as glitchy and bullshitty as they were before. It's just only now they fucking realize it when they start... when the bullshit continued.
Yeah, Bethesda was the epitome of getting a pass last year.
Them and fucking Rockstar got the pass. Bullshit.
Damn, spit the fire.
I like the name that flames,
not this hard.
The only reason why anybody gave those motherfuckers a pass is because they can do everything they wanted to do. But yet and all, you're falling through the fucking world. Enemies don't even act right. Freaking you put too many cups in a room and the whole engine crashes. Fuck that shit.
I remember there was it was the same reviewer too, I believe, from Kotaku, right? He reviewed Skyrim. He loved it. He's like, yeah, this game's glitchy as fuck, but I fucking love it, right? Then he reviewed Brett, that R.A. Salvatore game. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah, I know the game you're talking about.
He the same things he loved about Skyrim, he hated about that game. Oh, it's derivative. It's just standard fantasy. This game's buggy. I'm like, but it was okay in Skyrim, right? What? So what the fuck?
That's what we're talking about. The guy who made that was the guy who worked on the previous Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
What do you mean it's derivative?
It goes to show how ignorant these fucking people are. But anyway, the point I was trying to make, it's like basically like I agree with Manny. Last gen Bethesda was the poster child. They could do no wrong. And now the chickens have come home to roost. That may happen to Kojima next generation. It's possible, you know?
I mean, it may. It's fine if the game, and here's where I go with it. It's fine if the game is boring. That's a minor detractor. In fact, sometimes that can actually set the pace. I've read really interesting books that are boring. I would give them a necessary 9, but you know everybody knows how the review boosts work. Like, first of all, nothing gets below a fucking 7 unless it's a fucking hot dumpster fire. Second of all, you get a point or two for name recognition, and then you get another point or two for big profile games with a lot of advertising behind.
Yeah.
But I mean, then boom, there you go. There's how you get your 9. I mean, I hate to fucking ruin it for people, but that's how numbered review scores work in today's day and age, thanks to fucking Metacritic and the world y'all built.
Yeah.
So you actually have to read the review to figure out how the game is, and they spelled it out for you in the review how they felt about the fucking game.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah, so again, I love that the way you phrase that. It's like, yeah, you guys built this world, you championed these fucking review scores, now look what you got.
You have to actually fucking read the review to figure out what they mean. And you're like, well, that's weird. The review score doesn't mean the same thing that says in the review. It's like, well, yeah, because the review score is artificially inflated. Because they're fucking taking advertising money from these people. This thing is there. They're fucking advertising. This shit is all over the place. That's going to give it a bump for a point for a bump or two. Like, and then you got to worry about all these things like advertisement, how public perception is going to be going along with the herd. Like, those number scores, they don't fucking mean anything anymore. That's where you're seeing the discrepancy, and that's why it's not a huge conspiracy, and it's not where all of a sudden people have fucking forgotten what words meant. It's the simplest explanation. It's Occam's razor, man. And it's not a huge convoluted conspiracy theory. It's things that we've shown and proven before. I mean, fuck, like, we want to talk about journalistic integrity and fucking collusion. This shit goes way back to the days that I'm not even going to bother even bringing up.
I'm going to go even before that. Remember Cain and Lynch?
Dude, right?
Yeah, there you go. That was, 2007? There you go.
Yeah, man. Like, this is not new stuff. And I don't understand why people are like, what's the fucking puzzle here?
Don't pay attention to these fucking scores, man. All right, let's move on. Okay, no more Death Stranding questions for tonight. Move on here.
Okay, real quick, I gotta say, on the personal thing, like, I gotta say, like or dislike this game, and like or dislike Kojima, his comments and public things about this game have not fucking helped.
What specifics?
Specifics.
But, yeah.
Quote, I must say the game received rave reviews, especially in Europe and Japan. Here in the United States, however, we have stronger criticisms. Perhaps it is a difficult video game to understand for a certain type of critic and audience. Americans are great fans of first-person shooters, and Death Stranding isn't one. It flies higher. I always try to create new things, and disputes and discussions are fine, but it must be said that Italians and French have a different artistic sensibility that allows them to appreciate this kind of very original product, not only in video games, but also in cinema.
Yeah.
That is the most pompous asshole thing that I have heard about anybody say about their art.
We're not woke. I told you, we're not woke, Brett.
Yeah. By the way, Brett, I totally see where you're coming from, but you also have to admit Americans are fucking Neanderthals too, man. Like, that's all we like. We like violence and shooting.
Dude, but you cannot fucking come out in defense of your art and tell people that they are just too small-minded to understand.
I agree with that.
That is in bad fucking taste, man. Yeah, but if you're getting backlash from that, should. Brett, I'm not saying anything about the game on this or even him as a personality. Just that comment is the douchiest thing I've heard all year.
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
So then, Brett, what you're saying is that the country that voted for Bush twice and Trump is not that smart.
I am saying that there's a proper rule of etiquette as somebody creating anything of artistic value, and the response to criticism is you're too small-minded to understand is never fucking acceptable. Yeah.
By the way, Glorious War, Glorious War, who's from Australia, says that everything Kojima just said is exactly what his people, Australians, say about Americans.
Oh, I'm not even disputing the truth to it. I'm just saying, bad form, you don't go that way.
Yeah, oh no, I agree with that. Like, Kojima, bro, don't say that. Like, I agree with you. Like, don't say that shit, bro.
Even
if he's correct, let's just be honest, he shouldn't be saying shit like that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you,
I agree.
You can bitch slap somebody in a fist fight. You can just backhand the shit out of them, and you can cheap shot people. There's lots of things you can do that you just probably shouldn't. Even if they're effective, even if they're right, even if they're true.
Well, I mean, yeah,
bro, like, come on.
Especially when you're trying to sell a product, you really he shouldn't even be commenting on any on reviews. You know,
he shouldn't be commenting on his audience unless it's to praise and thank them for their generous support.
Yeah,
that's
no,
all you do as an artist, as a creative.
Yeah, no,
do not the haters. Thank the people following you.
Yeah. By the way, I forgot what comedian said this, but it was like basically this is how I see America versus the world. The world, you know, like the world is like a guy who finishes college, right? He's very proud of himself. Like, yeah, I finished college. I study very hard, you know, and I'm elevating myself, right? That's the rest of the world. This is America. Oh, yeah, but can you kick my ass? That's America.
Yeah, we got a lot of that. We do have some pretty good people here, too. Like, we can put the dumpster fire out, and it's still salvageable, people. We're not entirely a country of, you know, fucking Neanderthals and idiots. We haven't devolved into idiocracy yet. We can pull out.
Yeah, but yeah, that little moment, that was like, yeah, that's America. And I fucking love America because we beat the shit out of all you guys. See, because I'm a typical American. Yeah, motherfuckers.
And right. That's why Call of Duty's number one on the charts. Yeah.
It's funny. He says he talks about how high minded and and more sophisticated Italian and French, cinema is. Yet he hangs out with American Hollywood actors and directors all the goddamn time.
You know, by the way, Violence and Empathy, he does not like Kojima. He's like, how can he talk so much with his head up his ass? Oh, man. Glorious War, who's in Australia, he goes, America's still the best. You guys are free to criticize yourselves. They'll take that away from us eventually, man. Don't worry about it. We'll join you soon. Like, Australia's a fucking mess, man. I'm sorry.
Dude, everywhere is a mess it's right
super
now.
Super expensive there. That's yeah. all I know.
But, but Glorious War, your women, man, fine, man. All right, I'm gonna leave it at that. Moving on here. No more.
Down under.
Yeah. By the way, shout out to those Australian girls that we met in Seattle. All right. Actually, it was just me. Nobody else here met him. Yeah. Damien, man, in the house. So his question is: this week there was a rumor of Xbox Game Pass having passed 9.5 billion subscribers. If these numbers are accurate, do you think this can have industry-changing effects?
Absolutely, if it's true, but we don't know. They never release numbers. Who's fucking coming up with these numbers? But if it is true, of course.
And let's get into it, Adam. How would it change it?
Well, it's because people follow the money. And it was like, shit, if that strategy working, all right, how are they pulling it off? How much are they paying the developer, the publisher for these games and the developers? What's the cut? Is it similar to the way Spotify does it with artists and labels, where depending on the certain artists, they'll give a big chunk up front for the year? You know, and then they'll come back at that for the next year to compare to the numbers of downloads and plays. And I think that's how it works, because I heard one developer, and it was a small indie developer, so if I find a link, but he had talked about Game Pass was like the best thing for his game, because he had it in the shop. Nobody was buying it on multiple platforms, he said. But once it was on Game Pass, he could actually see that people were getting it. They were clicking it, and he gets paid based off of those downloads.
Interesting.
So not just for being up there because he was a smaller title, but per download. And he said that was much better than what he was getting before because nobody was buying the shit.
Yeah. Here's, you know, I'm going to link this to something Jim Ryan, who worked for Sony, said, you know, because somebody, you know, the Game Pass came up in a conversation. He goes, if we had something like Game Pass, we wouldn't put our games on there on day one because we don't want to devalue our games. What do you think about that?
Oh, I could understand that. And that was the fear that we all had, and we talk about it now. The fact that Xbox One exclusive games are part of the Game Pass. But we got to understand the way they see it is Game Pass is king. And if that's the king, you want to keep feeding it because you want it to grow. And that's the way they explain it. It's like, hey, if you get Game Pass, you are getting exclusives. It's not the other way around. It's not about, oh, just there's exclusives. It's part of Game Pass. You want to get Game Pass to get these exclusives. So all these studios that they picked up, next year we're going to see them spewing all kinds of shit. Are they going to be legit shit or quality? Who knows? But we know a bunch of them, right? They have to be two or three games ready.
Yeah. But the thing is, studios. Like, you know, but we did see that because of Game Pass, it really hit the sales of Gears of War, for example, you know?
We don't know. We don't know. Hell, that could have been the boost for the Game Pass sales. But we heard about, Outer Worlds. Outer Worlds still sold. It was still on the charts.
Actually, was it on MPD?
Yeah. It was in the top five we saw that.
Wait, hold on. Didn't the game drop in October? I don't think it's on MPD yet, bro.
No, we saw it when we were talking about it. I was like, wow, people still bought the shit even though you can get in Game Pass.
No, I don't think that was it, bro.
I don't think it was up there.
Yeah, no, the game came out like October. So we're gonna see next MPD.
Oh, you know what I was going based off of the PSN.
Gotcha.
It was on there.
Yeah.
Gotcha. That's what that was.
Don't want to lead people astray here, people.
Tony, the other thing I want to point out, too, is, you know, you want to understand motive in a situation like this, right? Like, it's easier to understand when you look at it from the backside, I guess.
Yeah.
So, Microsoft wants to turn everything into a service. That's kind of understandable, but let's break that down just a little bit more. Why is that? Well, right now, you buy a console from Microsoft, you buy your controllers from Microsoft, you buy these things from Microsoft. Where's Microsoft getting your money? Oh, they're not. You introduce Xbox Live. That's where that whole thing came in, a continued revenue stream. And that's fucking great. But they don't, I mean, other than, you know, notoriety, they don't give a shit what games you buy, how many games you buy, because they don't get a cut. As soon as they fold it into a service, though, they become a middleman between the people producing the games and the audience, which will allow them to scrape a little off the top. This is a huge deal for Microsoft in the sense that even if it's just a dollar off each transaction, this could put a shitload of money in their pocket. So it's almost worth it for them to take a loss and incentivize their platform to seem like it has a lot of content, thus these day one releases, because the end goal of providing a service over a product is infinitely more profitable.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. That's why they're doing that. And let's just be honest, the reason they had to do that is because nobody was buying their console, so they had to do this instead. You know, so it makes perfect sense why they would do that. You know, subscriptions make you a lot of money, man, especially when people forget about those subscriptions, you know? Like, for example, I've been paying for Xbox Live for, like, the last few months. I'm like, well, I don't even use Xbox Live. I just forget, you know? That's how they get you, man. That's how they get you. Anyway, does anybody else want to answer this question? How Game Pass could change the industry?
But even that interview, that same one you were talking about with the PlayStation one, he didn't rule it out. Yeah, Jim Ryan, he didn't rule it out. He just said that's not in their future plans.
Yeah.
So he didn't pull like what we know from before when they were talking about, oh, no, our audience are not interested in multiplayer and online services.
Yeah, remember
that. He did. And then that got thrown in their face.
I think that was the same guy, too, who said it. I could be wrong about that. Jim Ryan is in a lot of crazy statements.
Yeah. Well, now he knows better. So
yeah, but he did, but he did specifically say we don't want to devalue our games. He did.
Oh, yeah. That's taking a jab. That's taking a jab.
Yeah. As for how it's going to affect I think a lot of people don't realize how many migrants there are among us. Like, you know, like I'm not subscribed to the PlayStation ecosystem, most likely, but I think a big thing is going to be if Sony doesn't manage to make this thing backwards compatible like they've been promising, that's going to be a pretty severe hindrance because that's the thing that's keeping a lot of people in their ecosystem.
Well, here's
backwards compatibility. A lot of people can jump ship, and why would you not jump ship for the thing that's just a service? You have Netflix, you have fucking Hulu. You might have the new Disney Infinity thing. Like, why not just add another subscription service and be able to play all the fucking games you want the way you watch movies? Now it makes sense. Microsoft knew the future. They just pitched it too early.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, because we were asked about this by Damien a couple weeks ago. It's like, if Sony had a similar thing to Xbox Game Pass, would we be down for it? Of course I would. If I could download a game on day one, fuck yeah.
I said
no.
One price?
Yeah. No, you did because you want physical.
Digital.
You like the day one. Now, if it's streaming, fuck, I don't care about streaming. I don't want that. But, like, if I could download it to my shit, play locally, fuck yes. Day one.
I hate every single time that one of those companies say that it's only a game that I really want is only, I'm like this
no
is
yeah yeah no but this is not it's only digital it's just that's the option you would still be able to buy physical obviously like think about it, you can still buy Gears of War physical if you want you know
yeah, but I don't want that to be the only option because again then what happened
oh
what
yeah
happened, but no one's arguing that you know
yeah, yeah no yeah,
no one's arguing that
So here's a question I want to throw.
We don't want another PT situation, right, Manny? Yeah,
no,
PT.
They just pulled the damn thing off.
Yeah, but that's a different argument.
So here's my question, because this is something I was thinking about over the week. I was like, all right, so here it is, Grand Theft Auto, right? We saw for the October PlayStation, still up there, top 20. Now, they haven't come out with a new version for this whole generation. You know, we're still playing the one from previous generations.
Yeah.
Is this going to be ported over to PS5 and to the other one?
That's a good question. Yeah.
Because if right off the bat it is, then that money, because think about it, it's a freight train that's not slowing down, right?
Well, think about it, Adam. This game is going to be playable on PS5. You know, remember, they.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They
said it's going to support it. It's up to the publishers to agree and put it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That doesn't need, it doesn't have to be. So unless Rockstar says, hey, we're not doing that. We'll do that for Red Dead, but we're not doing that for, you know, GTA 5. We have something else planned.
Yeah. By the way, I should note that Sony did say PS5 will be backwards compatible. However, they did not state how that's going to work. So that's going to be a big difference, you know. That's going to be very important to figure out, because if it's some bullshit, people are going to be like, if you can't put your disc in there, people are going to be pissed. You know,
I'm telling you, it's going to be some kind of backward deals or something, because the publisher is going to want some money out of this. I'm like, all right, so if we're going through the hassle of making this compatible for the next one, what do we get out of this? This is a new contract. This is a new platform. Let's work a deal out. And if there's no deal, the shit won't be there. So, yeah, it'll play it. It's just the publisher won't bring it.
Yeah. All right, man, let's move on here. Black Metal Gamer. Out of all the worst video game made to live action movies, what is the worst one? For him, it's House of the Dead.
Wing Commander.
What a
Street Fighter with Van Damme.
That movie's a masterpiece compared to Wing Commander.
Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Mortal Kombat Annihilation was so bad. Oh my god! And the Doom movie. Both of them.
Anything with Annihilation in the name.
Dude, the Mario Brothers movie was
terrible.
I sort of want to see that again right now. Hold on.
This is what I said about the Mortal Kombat movie. The Mortal Kombat movie is the most decent video game movie ever made. That's about as good as you're going to get, you know? Hey, and to be fair, the first Resident Evil was pretty good. The first one. The first, not the other. The after two, don't forget about it, you know?
Yeah, they strayed. I have no clue what's going on in the other ones.
But one, you could still kind of fit it into Resident Evil if you wanted to. Tomb Raider, the one with Angelina Jolie. I just liked it because Angelina Jolie was hot. The new one, video game movies are horrible, man. Let's just be honest here.
I don't know. They seem to have trouble figuring out that formula.
Well, it's not a formula that can really be done because you're taking an active entertainment, a medium that. That you interact with and try to put on a screen that you just watch.
Yeah.
Right? You can't turn an active form of entertainment into a passive form of entertainment without like huge changes. You can't just pluck stuff from it because now the people who you're trying to appeal to, it's like, well, I can't interact with this. I can't change the story. I'm not that character. I'm just watching this shit.
Like, for example, we have that Uncharted, right? I think that's still happening.
Yeah.
They said they're still making
Tom Holland.
I mean, you kill a lot of people. You know? I mean, it's like there's a lot of small nations, you know? Yeah, you're a serial killer. And the majority of the gameplay still takes place with you just killing. How do they incorporate that without making him look so sadistic?
Yeah, right? He's going to kill two dudes in a whole movie.
Exactly. Well, it's going to be a lot of dialogue and punching people out and stuff.
Indiana Jones killed a bunch of people, and he didn't look like a sadistic monster.
It was Nazis.
That was back in the 80s.
I was going to say that. It's like nowadays.
In Crystal Skull, he kills one person by accident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that lets you know
right there. He punched that guy into the anthill. That's the only guy who died in Crystal Skull.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in the 80s, he was murdering everybody, you know? Oh, man. All right. Moving on. So far, what games from this year would you say are sleeper hits? Here's the thing, though. Sleeper hit is not really, correct me if I'm wrong here, it's not really a subjective term. It's like a game that nobody expected to do well.
What about if one didn't sell well?
No, then it's not a sleeper hit.
It's not a sleeper.
Like a sleeper hit is a game that no one is kind of under the radar and then kind of blew up a little bit or more than it should
have. I got two.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got two. World War Z, that sold well, but that's sort of sleeper hit.
Yeah, that is a sleeper hit. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and people weren't really talking about it, but that was a hit. They sold in the millions. They really made their money worth. And My Name is Pedro.
Yeah, I would say that.
That was another one. That was a sleeper hit. There was a lot of hype at E3 when people saw it, but then when it came out, no one talked about it yet.
I think World War Z is probably the epitome of a sleeper hit. Nobody saw that shit coming, you know, and then it sold millions, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. What other games are sleeper hits this year? I don't have access to sales, so I don't really know off the top of my head.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys it wasn't a sale, but I mean, Fortnite, the Battle Royale, that was a fucking sleeper.
That was last year, but you're right about that.
I know, but that's the ultimate one. Nobody saw that shit coming.
Definitely counts. That definitely counts. People thought here's the thing, Days Gone, I don't know if I would call that a sleeper hit. I don't know. Because the game sold very well, don't get me wrong, but I think people thought it was going to sell better, you know, than it did. A Metro Exodus, was that a sleeper hit? Did that do well?
The next month it went on Game Pass, so I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. That did not do well. Oh, Devil May Cry 5 also didn't sell well.
That didn't hit either. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, I got one.
What's up?
Titled Loose Game.
Oh yeah, that is true. That's a sleeper hit. Nobody saw that shit coming out of nowhere and it became a hit, you know?
Oh, what's that one with the goat simulator?
That was years ago, though.
That was years ago? See, there you go.
Yeah, that was years ago. That was years ago.
Yeah, Brian really wants that game.
You do?
Oh, wait. No, I'm not thinking of that. I'm thinking of the Goose one.
Yeah,
the Goose
Brett one. Just said it, man.
He just oh, my bad. See, that's it. Brett's still here. I thought he left to watch Morty. Morty. No, he said 10 o'clock. He said 10 o'clock. He got people coming. I don't know. Now it's 11.
Yeah, they haven't showed up yet.
Yeah, they show up when they show up, man. Brett's got DVR, man. He's good.
Okay.
We're all fashionably late in the tattoo world.
Yeah, man.
Dude, I'm fashionably late for
a bunch of rock stars. Yeah,
he's fashionably late for life, man. Literally, too, man. You ever seen the way this guy dressed, man? It's sharp, but very artistic, man. I'm telling you, bro, you fit right into New York, bro, especially Brooklyn, you know? Let's look at this motherfucker right here, man.
Don't say Williamsburg. If he does, that's not a compliment. What part of
Brooklyn? No, it's still a little seedy, you know? Like Brett, he's a little seedy too. All right, man. Hey, that's a compliment, Brett. I'm at least you don't look like a bitch.
Appreciate that.
You know, like you see Brett, like
he needs to ride around.
Brett's a skinny motherfucker, but you know, you look at his eyes like that guy to kick your fucking ass if you say something, man. You better watch out, man. Look at them neck tattoos, man. All right, man.
Skinny guys fight to the burger.
I'm telling you, man. Don't fuck with skinny guys. All right. What's your? Oh, this is from Tennessee Sooner. What's going on, brother? All right. So, what is your funniest trolling moment? I'm guessing in a video game. Mine is on GTA 5. I pick up my friend's car in a cargo bob when they leave the room and drop them from max height when they come back. Brett, you go ahead because you're master of trolling in fucking video games. You love this shit.
I get a lot of practice. I mean, it really just, it depends.
Doesn't have to be this gen. Any from any era.
So many, from building dummy forts with traps in like survival games. Chris and I trolled so many invaders through the Souls series. That was all just fucking, just confusing the shit out of them, just waiting for them, and then only one of us would fight them at a time, which would always throw them. But I have to say my all-time favorite has to probably be just about any game I've ever played with Morgan, because in those games, it's not trolling, it's science. As long as you have a hypothesis and you think something's going to happen, you're welcome to test it out, which includes, in Far Cry, throwing proximity mines on the front of the vehicle that we ourselves are about to drive. But my favorite moment had to be the time where I discovered that in a co-op Far Cry game, I think it was 5, I could hurl a shovel like a javelin at the person he was going through a conversation with, and they would react by screaming and flailing and then resetting back and starting the conversation loop over again. By which I don't mean that they would allow him to engage in conversation again. I mean, they just start again from the very first line. And so I stood there for about an hour and a half, just hucking shovels at this guy's face in a small game to see, just how far I could get back. And a couple times where he'd just be talking to the guy, and he'd see just shovels just winging behind the guy until one just finally pinged him in the forehead. After that, we eventually made a game of horse out of it and ended up just throwing shovels at the guy the whole night. It was a great experience, but I kept him trapped in that conversation loop for a solid hour, and it was just the most beautifully frustrating thing you ever saw.
It's hilarious. All right, Chris, go ahead.
The only game I can think of where I've done that is Dark Souls and Demon Souls. Well, either straight up invading, or like Brett said, where one of us would put little prism stones on the floor and make like a makeshift arena and then step in it. You know, one guy steps in it and the other guy just sits outside, like I would sit on the floor. But I think the best was like Demon Souls, because there was a lot of guys who would use magic. So they'd just make a mage, basically. And there was a spell in there, if you had a high faith, like a cleric, there was an anti-magic spell you could cast that would nullify every magic. So even yourself, like once you cast it, you can't cast magic and nobody else around you can do it either, which was awesome. So I would just take off all my armor and just be like, basically got a loincloth on and a sword in my hand, just cast this shit. Somebody would run in, start trying to shoot me with spells. They don't work. And then I just hack them to pieces.
Man. It's awesome. Adam.
I don't really do that. I mean, most people consider me just running around trying to find shit while they're trying to get to the objective, trolling them. And they're like, yo, we're trying to get over here. Yeah, why are you over there listening to random NPC chatter? I was like, fuck, because this is part of the game. You know, if I'm here, I want to experience this because I don't want to have to replay this part just because I want to hear some shit. You know, just gather up everything and then move on to the next. You know, if I checked under the stairs, then I'm good to go. But if I want to see, want to make sure there's nothing there.
All right, Brian.
I think it's mostly just being Dying Light. Like, that game in co-op is, like, the most fun thing ever. The amount of times I'll just, like, bring, like, a horde of zombies, like where my friend was, because he was having a smoke, and then just let him just get killed. It's like, oh, well, you shouldn't be smoking then, you know?
Are you getting a new one? Are you getting new? Because you don't really get new games. Are you getting that one?
I've not seen anything that I want to get about it, but I'll... still, it's on the radar.
Okay.
So I'll check it out, but it's not a guarantee just yet.
Yeah, I don't really do too much trolling, but when I play with Brian and Carlos and Chris, we definitely troll each other, you know, in GTA, man. Especially, you know, especially, you know, Carlos, man, Brian, when you and him go at it, it's hilarious, man. And then I just come in and I just, like, try to bump you off the road and shit. You know, but, and then I know we have done some GTA matches where you just, like, we decide, okay, that guy, we're going to start killing him now just for the fuck of it, you know?
Oh, how about Red Dead? Didn't we grief some?
Oh, yeah, we griefed a lot of motherfuckers in that one. Cause that was fun. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Oh, God. One of the few times that I really had just an insane amount of fun with that was when I learned I could
tie motherfuckers?
Lasso motherfuckers and drag them behind my horse.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I think we
did that to you a couple of times.
Yes, you did. Yeah. We started doing it to each other. It's hilarious, man. Yeah, we were trolling each other in that game, man.
You all are a bunch of monsters.
Yeah, Manny, you don't troll at people online.
No, I'm a good player. I give things to players, and I do. If I ever do online stuff, I'm about connection rather than.
Are you building strands?
I'm building strands.
Oh man. All right, and the last question of the night. What character in a video game did you feel most attached to? Like when you turned the game off, you still thought of this character and was 100% invested in their story arc.
Damn. Revan.
Revan?
Revan. No, unfortunately, I don't like what they did with it.
Oh.
Well, they redid canon and all that, but no, I really like the Revan storyline. I was actually interested to be like, I wonder what the fuck happens from here.
Nothing.
Nope.
Hey, Brett, you know which storyline I'm not a fan of? Parvati. Oh, man. The inside joke right there. I don't know. I can't think of anything. Like, there's games that have stuck with me. Like, Mass Effect. Yo, this shit is crazy right now. You know? But specific characters, I can't really say. Because, again, most characters are kind of just, like, empty vessels for you for the most part.
It's usually the world.
Yeah, the world, yeah.
That I can't help but think of. Not really about characters.
Oh, I have mine. I just came. Clementine from The Walking Dead.
Okay.
Clementine!
I really did care, and I looked forward to the next episode to see how she was going to get out of it or if she was just going to end up dying and stuff. So I had that connection.
I did like Clementine.
Clementine was cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my man Lee, though, man. I can't, because I can't think of anything. I'm gonna go with Lee from Walking Dead. That shit was fucked up, you know. We're not gonna spoil a 5-year-old game, but yeah, you know, like, fuck my man.
Yeah, that was sad. That was sad.
Chris,
shit, characters stuck with you. I don't know. I mean, I think about Mike from Resident Evil 2.
Oh.
Poor guy in the helicopter gets shot down by Sadler. I'm like, hey, I would have liked to have had a beer with that guy.
Yeah.
What if he had kids? Poor Mike, man.
Yeah, what about the shop owner from Resident Evil 4? What are you boying?
Yeah, what is he up to these days?
You know?
Like, oh my god, I so wanted him back, and fucking Capcom never brought him back.
That would have been awesome.
You should have been the character in Marvel.
What are you selling?
Yeah.
Dude, I'd love to see him show up in just a different Capcom game.
Maybe he is in another Capcom game. You don't know. The guy was all hooded up and stuff. You don't know. He could.
That's what I'm saying. Like, she shows up in a Mega Man game. You're like, the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah. That would be work. And then he'll be like, what are you bullying?
He's a cyborg, though. That's what it'll be.
He could be a cyborg. It works. Works with Mega Man's.
Stick a robot arm on him or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brian.
I kind of think of anything. I've not been playing many games that are character focused. And the only thing that comes to mind is God of War 1 Kratos.
Ooh, that's a good one, yeah.
Like, you feel his pain, like, towards the end. It was like, wow, okay, this guy's a piece of shit. But then at the same time, he is trying to redeem himself, but in the worst way possible.
Yeah. You can't have characters like that anymore with actual depth. You know, morally gray, can't do that anymore. What's going on with it, Wesker? What are you guys talking about in the chat right now, man? Who mourns for Barry Burton? That's a good question, Barry Burton. I thought about him a lot, man.
Hey, man, that thing happened to his family.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. Yeah, I think we're done here, so...
I have one more.
Go ahead,
man. I'm not sure if Brian will be able to relate. The main character from Singularity.
You know how I said that I have, like, lots of games to play and I've not been playing them? That's, like, towards the top of the list, Brett. I kid you not.
I'm not saying that as a jab to get you to play it. I'm honestly saying, like, if there's games that I sit back and think about that and just be like, Jesus fucking Christ, like, try and, like, wrap my brain around that and, like, the ending and what happens to the main character, that's at the top of the list near, like, BioShock.
Okay, here's one. Spec Ops The Line.
Touche, sir. So both of you guys need to play each other's games.
Yeah, I will play that hopefully this week. There's nothing else exciting happening, and Pokemon, I'm not excited for that, so I'm good.
Gotta play the Mario Pokemon.
Pokemon.
All right, I think we're pretty much done here, but and I'm just going to say this now just so we get on it. Starting on Thursday, we're going to start giving you free shit because we got a bunch of stuff.
Some shit. We got some Death Stranding posters for you guys. We got some t-shirts. We got lots of shit.
Yeah, we got some logistics to go work through. And I'm going to say this now because, I'm playing a lot of Death Stranding. My room looks like Norman Reedus' back. I have fucking boxes everywhere. I'm going to start giving you some of this shit to you guys. Some keyboards, maybe some headset. We'll see what happens. But I got to start giving this shit away because it's taking up too much space. I don't want it, you know? And technically, I can't give it away as long as I review it. I mean, that's the only caveat.
We don't want to do the game journalist version of Hoarders with you.
Yeah. And then I don't feel ethically bad if I'm giving it to a fan instead of selling it. Selling it is like little... I don't want to do that, you know what I'm saying? But giving it away as a prize, and I'm also simultaneously promoting their product doing that too, if you think about it. That's what giveaways are, if you think about it. So yeah, we're going to do that. So yeah, Manny and I have some good shit to give you. So stay tuned, man. We just got to, among us, we just got to figure out how we're going to do it. But we want to keep it simple. The question, you know what I'm saying? But I did say this to Manny. I want to keep it to the guys that watch us live for the most part. But for bigger ones, like if I'm giving away a keyboard, I want everybody involved. But for posters and shit like that, art, you got to be here. Got live.
And man. For people, he's not talking like some dinky Dell keyboard.
No, I'm talking about fucking Logitech, man. Some real shit. You know?
Yeah, these are some... legit items.
Yeah, Adam knows. He knows what's up.
Oh yeah. I've received one of these loot crates from Tony. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it 8-bit dude, man. I got you, man.
Yeah. 8-bit too. I love them.
All right, man. So we're done here. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us the questions in the Throwdown Discord server, and we'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. Tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
The baby.
That's creepy shit, man. Oh,
you keeping a baby in a jar, you crazy bastard.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Somebody will call the cops. They see that through your window. We got a crazy motherfucker across the street. He put a baby in a jar.
Yeah. Yo, he's brown. Shoot him. Yeah. Right. Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Brett Murdoch.
Some real people.
And Brian Monjoma.
Happy birthday, Carlos. Miss
you. Yes, man. He just turned 71 today, man. All right, people. We'll see you. Have fun in Korea, you crazy bastard.
Have a good night.
Later, people.